Okay, Chevra, so I want to learn with you the Mishnah and the Gemara over here on Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. It's a relatively small piece of Gemara, but it's actually one of the more important and controversial or debated halachos or non-halachos throughout Mesechus Sukkah. So let's just go through the Gemara first, and then we'll try to analyze the Rishonim and try to get into the practical halacha. Zok the Mishnah, Hasomech Sukkaso Bikar'ei Hamita Kshera. The Mishnah says if someone supports the Sukkah with the legs of a bed, it's fine. Instead of walls, apparently, if you have the legs of a bed, it's going to be kosher. Rashi makes a point that we're talking about a mita shlema. We're talking about a complete bed. Effectively, what I do is I have my bed, right? And I flip it up this way, right? And then I use my schach on top of my bed. So that is going to be kosher according to the Tanakhama and the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im eina yachola lamud bifnei atzma psula. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the schach cannot stand on its own, then it's pasul. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, a sukkah that is supported by a bed is just fine, jim dandy, amazing, glorious sukkah. However, the Reb Yehuda says that the sukkah can be pasul, right, if it cannot stand on its own. Having the schach on top of the kar ehamita, on top of the bed frame or the bed legs, is not automatically kosher, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Sometimes it's going to be pasul if it cannot stand on its own. That's the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. How come Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah that is supported by a bed, how come Rabbi Yehuda says sometimes it's no good? So, pligi ba rebzeira of Rabbi Abba bar Mamel. There's a machlokas. We're not sure who said what. Rebzeira and Rabbi Abba bar Mamel have a dispute. Chad omar mipnei she'ein lo keva. V'chad omar mipnei she'ma'amida. One opinion is that it's no good because the sukkah that's supported by the bed, ein la keva, it lacks permanence. The other opinion is that a sukkah that is supported by a bed is no good because the bed is a davar that's mekabel tumah. The bed is susceptible to tumah, and therefore, you cannot have a sukkah with a davar that is supported by a davar that's mekabel tumah. So there are two opinions in the Gemara as to why it is no good within Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we have to just remember all of this. There are two opinions within Rabbi Yehuda why it's no good. Opinion number one says, ein la keva. Opinion number one says, somehow it lacks permanence. And opinion number two says, no, it is because you're being ma'amid with a davar that's mekabel tumah, because you're supporting the schach with something that is susceptible to tumah. Let's read through the Gemara, and then we'll come back to explain it some more. May benayu, the Gemara asks, right, may benayu, take the third line into the Gemara. What is the difference between the two opinions, or like we'd say, l'may nafkamina. So the Gemara says, kigon shenach pudin shel barzel v'sikeich aleihem. Let's say I take metal poles, and I put my schach on top of these metal poles. Not just metal, it's barzel, it's iron. I put my schach on top of iron. L'man d'amar l'fi she'en lo keva. Have yesh la keva. Umanda amr nation ma amida bidavra makabel tuma. Hare ma amida bidavra ham kabel tuma. Basically, if you assume that the reason why it's no good is because of Ein Lakeva, it's because it's not permanent somehow, it lacks permanence. So if that's the case, if I have iron beams that are supporting the schach, right? Yesh Lakeva, that would be fine. It's a permanent, significant, strong structure. That should be fine. However, if you hold the reason is because you are supporting the schach with something that is susceptible to tumah. So in this case, you are supporting the schach with something that's susceptible to tumah. After all, the schach is supported by iron, by metal. Metal is mekabel tumah. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so far, very straightforward. Oh, Amar Abaye, right? The Gemara, it's like the first of the wide lines at the bottom. It's the last word on the first wide line at the bottom. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela samach, aval sikech al gabe hamita kshera. Abaye says that the only discussion over here is samach, meaning that I put the schach on top of the bed, that the bed is supporting the schach. Aval sikech al gav hamita, but if the schach is on top of the bed, then it is kosher. What does this mean? This means that let's say the bed, right, is holding the schach. So then it's no good. However, let's say I have schach that happens to go on top of the bed, but the bed is not supporting the schach, meaning I have some pillars or something else that is supporting the schach, even though there is a bed there as well, it is still going to be kosher. Abaye is basically saying something that's relatively obvious, so much so that the Rishonim ask on Abaye, like, why do you need to say this? But the point that Abaye is getting at is the only time there's a discussion of it being pasul is when the schach is on the bed itself. But if the schach is not on the bed itself, if the schach is not supported by the bed, rather the schach is going on top of the bed, it's hovering over the bed, but it's not supported by the bed, then Abaye says it's okay. My taima, right? Pachimu, what's the reason? So the Gemara explains, if the concern is because it's not permanent, in this case it's permanent. If the schach is not being supported by the bed, but it's just hovering over the bed, so in that case, the schach is permanent. That's fine. That's grand. And it is not being supported by Dharma Makabal Tuma, so therefore, it is going to be okay. So effectively, right, you're all probably scratching your heads. You're like, Schwartz, how can you tell me this Gemara is like so important and like it's relatively easy? We went through the Gemara. It took us only like 10 minutes. We're done with the whole thing. What's the big deal? Right? I'm sure that the question some of you are asking. And if you're not asking that question, it's probably just because you're nice. But you would really ask, like, why am I saying this is important? So I'll tell you why. But we'll have to get there.
So what happens if the schach is permanent? It's hovering above the bed, but then some of the schach falls onto the bed.
So again, we're not discussing that case if some of the schach falls onto the bed, but if some of the schach would fall onto the bed, then it's that schach is no good, obviously. We have to figure out if the rest of the schach is okay.
Okay.
But let's just go slowly.
Sure.
One of the big issues that comes up in sukkah construction is that some people make a very big deal about this, that the schach should not rest on metal. So if you have, let's say, an old canvas sukkah, and there's a metal frame that's supporting the canvas sukkah, or you have a modern fiberglass lighter's sukkah that you bought, so those sukkahs are metal on the top. Metal is mekabel tumah. there are many who are machmir. They say, you know what? You shouldn't put the schach directly on top of the metal boards. And they'll use a term like maimed, right? Maimed. And they'll start like saying, whoa, you know, your sukkah is being supported by metal. And some people, based on this, they will not put the schach directly on the metal. They will always have like a intervening piece of wood between the metal and the schach, because they say, or else it's maimed. What we will be discussing tonight is whether you have to be machmir on that. But our conversation tonight will take us in the direction of, is it necessary to have a piece of wood between the metal and the schach? And we could also ask the question the other way, we could ask, is it necessary to have it, right? Or is it a chumrah to have it? Or maybe it's going to actually be puzzle if you don't have it. Or maybe putting that piece of wood, I'm saying the same thing five different ways, or maybe putting the piece of wood between the metal and the schach won't even help. And if it's a problem, it's a problem no matter what.
What happens if you just put like wooden boards, like small strips of wood on top, and then you put schach on top of that?
And that's what many people do. The question is,
that's what my family does.
Wonderful. Great. The question is it necessary? And if it's necessary, one could even argue that it doesn't help. And we will get to this conversation now. But let's go back a minute. The Mishnah has a machlokes, Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachomim say that the sukkah on top of the bed is a glorious sukkah, a marvelous sukkah, an amazing sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not good. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say it's not good? There are two possibilities in the Gemara. Possibility number one is Ein Lakeva. Possibility number two are the magic words that we just said, Maimed. No? Because you're Maimed with a Dover that's Mekabel Tuma. You're supporting it with something that is Mekabel Tuma. So we have to figure out what these two possibilities are. Let's start with the first possibility. What does it mean, Ein Lakeva? Again, possibility number one in the Gemara within Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's no good, is because it's Ein Lakeva, because it is not permanent. Zot Rashi, Ein Lakeva, if the sukkah is on top of the bed, Ein Lakeva, Rashi writes, Shemetal Teles Al Yedei Mita. Because the sukkah gets moved by the bed. Rabbi Yehuda Latame, the Amas Sukkah, Diras Keva Be'inon. Rabbi Yehuda is Lashita so that he says a sukkah has to be a permanent structure. Meaning, Rashi is saying that if I build a sukkah on top of a bed, people move beds all the time. No? That's what you do. You take a bed, you move it. Zucked Rashi. That's what Ein Lakeva means. It's not permanent. It's not fixed in place. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that a sukkah has to be Diras Keva. We encountered this way back when on Daf Beis Amud Aleph in the Masechta. Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah over 20 amos is going to be kosher. Because Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah Diras Keva. And I know Ilan likes to ask the question, well, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say it has to be Keva. Rabbi Yehuda says it can be Keva, right? But nonetheless, we've already seen a few places in the Masechta that the Gemara is assuming that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be Keva. And this is one of those locations. The way Rashi is learning the Gemara, effectively what the Gemara is telling me is that a sukkah on top of the bed is no good. Because since the bed is moving, or it can be moved, or will be moved, it's likely to be moved. So that means that the sukkah is not keva. And Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah has to be keva. Now, the Rishonim kind of hear what Rashi says, and they say, Rashi, dude, we got two problems. Problem number one is throughout the Masechta, we have a number of times where we have a position of Rabbi Yehuda, and we explain that position in light of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita elsewhere of Dires Keva. For example, the previous Gemara that we just learned last week, right? If I sleep under a bed in a sukkah, so Rabbi Yehuda says it's good. Why? Because Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is consistent. Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso that the bed is arai, the sukkah is keva. Lo asi diras arai umavato l'diras keva. Right, that the temporary bed cannot go and be mavato the diras keva of the sukkah. So throughout the Masechta, we have many times where we say that Rabbi Yehuda is l'shitaso. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with his own opinion. So the Rishonim ask, dear Rashi, beloved Rashi, if the reason why Ein Lakeva is a problem is because it's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso that a sukkah has to be keva, well, say that. Say that. How come, Rashi, you're not saying that? How come, Rashi, you are telling me, right, it's true, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara should say it explicitly, like it said earlier. That's one problem on Rashi. Tosfos, however, over here, this tells us she'ein lakeva. Tosfos quotes Rashi, writes mitaltelas ayidei hamita Reb Yehuda l'tameh who says sukkah diras keva kach pish bekunches lefi sevarazu matzino lemeima de pligi nami besuka shivirosh ha'agala. Zok Tosfos, if you're going to tell me that a mobile sukkah lacks keva, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is no good. So if that's the case, so a sukkah on top of a wagon. Actually, they have these things. You can see them in the Hamodiyah, the Ated Neman, a sukkah comes. They have like a special type of mat that you could put on top. You could open two car doors, no? And you put the mat on top, and you now have a sukkah because you have three walls and the schach on top. No? Did any of you ever see this? Right? That you're basically using your car as a sukkah.
No, yeah. But I have seen the Chabad's sukkah mobiles on bikes, which are...
So Chabad's sukkah mobiles on bikes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, should be puzzled. Because if you're telling me that it has to be keva, and something that's mobile is by definition not keva, right? So, you know, don't tell the mitzvah mobiles or whatever, because, right, we won't talk. But this could be a problem. That's one issue that the Rishonim say. Moreover, there are other cases. We have a case of a sukkah on top of a boat. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Gamliel and a bunch of his friends are on the boat and there's a sukkah, right? Whoa! Sukkah on the boat! It moves, right? The sukkah's moving. It's not going to be kosher. How can you do that? Moreover, Tosfos quotes later on in this same Tosfos. Tosfos quotes, right? Umi yukasha do kamon, pasul Reb Yehuda sukkah gabi behema. You see, I just scrolled up. The Gemara later on says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah on top of an animal is no good. And the reason why it's no good is because the Torah has an expression, then you have to make a sukkah for 7 days. And if my sukkah is on an animal, the sukkah can't be kosher for 7 days because some of those days of Yontiv are Yontiv. And some of those days of Yontiv are Shabbos. And you're not allowed to climb and ride animals on Shabbos and Yontiv. So therefore, the Gemara says, that sukkah on an animal is no good because it's not usable for 7 days. Well, dude, say better, zug besser, say the reason why sukkah is no good if it's on an animal is because animals move and the sukkah can't be mobile, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfos has all of these questions, the sukkah on the wagon, the sukkah on the boat, the sukkah on the animal. How can it be if you hold that the definition of ein lakeva is that it can't move? If it moves, it's not a permanent structure. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that sukkah has to be some sort of keva, some sort of significant structure, as it will. How could that work? Right? We have all these other cases. No one ever disputed a sukkah on top of a Chabad mobile. No one ever protested it. So, Tosfos says something. Hard to know exactly what Tosfos means. Tosfos writes, I don't know if you could see my pointer, but Tosfos says, Shani Sfina Do'urcha Bahachi. You see, there's the word shum in the Tosfos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right? So Tosfos says, Shani Sfina Do'urcha Bahachi V'chashiva Keva. Boats are normal. People build sukkahs on boats all the time. And that's why it's called keva. Keva means something that's unusual, or keva means something that's a normal way of building it. But normal people don't build sukkahs on top of beds, so that's not keva. That's not normal. But normal people do build sukkahs on top of boats, so therefore, it's going to be okay. That would mean what? Normal people build a sukkah on top of a wagon? Is that true? I don't know. Normal people build a sukkah on top of an elephant? I don't know. The approach that Tosfos says that it's normal is intriguing, but we don't fully understand it. The Ran, however, has the following answer, which, again, it's hard to understand exactly what he means. The Ran says like this. You know, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells me that the boat doesn't really move. The ground or the water moves under the boat. The boat stays in the same place. No? One could argue, I don't think that's true, one could argue that maybe wagons don't really move. Animals don't really move. Maybe the ground. Did you ever think of this, like, as a kid? Do you ever think that, like, the whole world is like one of these escalators, or, you know, like these in the airports, you know, these these flat escalators, and, like, no one is really moving. The earth is, right? When you learn that the earth spins. So didn't you ever have this thought that, like, the earth is spinning and you're not going anywhere? When you're running, the earth is just spinning faster? Am I the only person ever thought like this?
No, this is physics. It's the system of reference. If you're in the boat, then vis-a-vis you yourself in the boat, the sukkah is stationary.
Right. Exactly. When I'm in the boat, I'm stationary. Right, and the water is moving. When I'm in the wagon, I'm stationary, yeah. And the wagon is moving. What was the third case? The animal.
Yeah.
Again, one could argue that I'm stationary. However, the sukkah on the bed, so then that's really moving. Why is that? Hard to know. Hard to know what the Ran means with this answer. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thinks that all the Ran means is that people perceive the sukkah on the bed like the bed is, people perceive it like the bed is on the ground, and the ground is really the fixed item, as opposed to a sukkah on a boat or on a wagon, that people view the boat and the wagon like it's the ground level of a sukkah. Reb Shlomo Zalman explains that the issue at hand is one of perception. When the sukkah is built on a bed, so people don't perceive it like the bed is a new ground level. People say there's a ground level. The ground level is the ground level. The bed is, right, just on top of the ground level. So people don't view it like the bed, right? People view the ground level as being the ground level. So they say, oh, the sukkah is moving because the sukkah is on the bed. But when the sukkah is on top of a boat, people's perception is that the boat is its own entity. It's not like a extension of the ground. That, I think, is the way the Ran understands it. Okay.
That's great. So that's, so for example, if somebody is sitting in a sukkah which is built on top of the bed, but sitting under this bed, is that person fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah according to Rabbi Yehuda?
Again, that's interesting. That's, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when I'm under the bed, I get the mitzvah sukkah because right. the sukkah is, because the bed is temporary and the sukkah is permanent. But if the sukkah is also temporary, so then it right. could be that you won't get the mitzvah. That's a very cute way of putting it together. I like that. But yeah, well, one could argue that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, you would get the mitzvah. But here it goes. Basically, Tosis says the difference between the bolt and the bed is whether it's normal. The Ran says the difference between the bolt and the bed, the Ran as understood by Reb Shlomo Zalman, is the difference between the bolt and the bed is how do people perceive it in terms of what's moving and what's not moving. It seems to me, however, that there's another way of understanding it, of understanding this Gemara, but we have to get over our functional fixedness. Usually I assume that like my bed is flat and the sukkah is on top of the bed. Let's say you have a four-poster bed, right? Or a big canopy bed. So I'm putting the schach on top of the bed and the walls of the bed are the walls of the sukkah. That's the way normal people perceive this. However, what you could also imagine is that you take the bed and you flip the bed over, no? And the types of beds that they had, I think Joseph sent me some pictures of what beds used to be like, but the type of beds that they had basically had a couple of boards this way, and there was no like mattress on it. So I flip the bed over, and then I want that to be my schach. And the walls of the bed, right, the bed is just upside down. Now, in that case, the ground of the sukkah is the actual ground. My bed is upside down, and then my bed is really moving, right? My bed moves from place to place, and the ground of the sukkah, it used to be in location A, now the ground of the sukkah is in location B, because the bed is actually moving, as opposed to the case when the sukkah is on top of the boat, where I am actually in the same location. If the sukkah is on an inverted bed and the bed moves, so then my location is moving. Am I explaining this clearly?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. So it seems to me that this is a possibility into how we understand it. But let's just go backwards, okay? Rabbi Yehuda says that sukkah on the bed, sukkah supported by the bed is no good. Two reasons in the Gemara. Reason one in the Gemara is Ein Lakeva. Rashi says Ein Lakeva means it will move. We asked a few questions on Rashi. What about the bolt? So we have a couple of answers. We have three answers as far as I know. Now, the Yerushalmi, the Tosis quotes, and the Rush quotes this Yerushalmi also. The Yerushalmi has a different explanation. Yeah, I just scrolled up. So you can see the word Ubi Yerushalmi. It's like the top line of the part of the Tosis that's showing. Ubi Yerushalmi mashan taima lefi she'en lakeva she'en la asara tfachim min hamita ad legag. Yerushalmi says that Ein Lakeva means that the sukkah, that you have a bed inside the sukkah, and the bed is taking up some airspace of the sukkah, obviously. And you no longer have 10 tefachim between the bed and the schach. You no longer have 10 tefachim of sukkah space because the bed is taking up some of that sukkah space. So Ein Lakeva, according to this explanation, has nothing to do with whether it moves or it doesn't move, right? That's like totally immaterial. Ein Lakeva, according to this explanation, simply means that the sukkah Ein Lakeva simply means that it could be that the sukkah is no good according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying that I need 10 tefachim above the bed. If I don't have 10 tefachim above the bed, it's no good. Apparently the Chachonim are saying that you can have a sukkah that does not have 10 tefachim above the bed, even though we had rules earlier in Daf Hey about Diras Rucha, that if the sukkah is too squashed, it's no good. But somehow with the bed, that doesn't make it like it's squashed, because the assumption when you have a bed is that you're lying down and you don't need a full tent for him. Something like that could be a possibility. But whatever it is, explanation number two of this Gemara of Ein Lakeva is that the Yerushalmi says Ein Lakeva means you don't have 10 tefachim. So again, so Rashi says Ein Lakeva means it moves. The Yerushalmi says Ein Lakeva means you need 10 tefachim above it. The Ravid has a different explanation. The Ran on Yudam Ralf Zapeh Harif quotes on the Ravid that Ein Lakeva means something entirely different. Ein Lakeva means, according to the Ravid, that I am suspending the sukkah, I'm supporting the sukkah by the bed, such that if I move the bed, the whole sukkah will flop over. It's not that the sukkah are the walls of the bed. Blah, 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 blah. It's not that the bed is the walls of the sukkah. It's that the sukkah is positioned in such a way that if you move the bed, the whole sukkah will fall off the wall. The whole sukkah is going to fall down. That's what the Ravid says. Okay. Whatever the explanation is, we have one opinion in the Gemara that according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, let's just review. We're talking within Rabbi Yehuda. One opinion is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's no good because Ein Lakeva. The other opinion is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's no good because it's maimed, because the sukkah is being supported by something that is not, the sukkah is being supported by something that is mekabel tumah. Two explanations. There are two questions, or let's go a step further. Let's go a step further. In the continuation of the Gemara, Abaye says that the opinion that Ein Lakeva, by the bottom three lines in the Gemara, my time, Ein Lakeva, Abaye says, Roshan al Samach, Abel Sikeich is kosher, right? Abaye says that if it's Sikeich, meaning if the bed is supporting the Schach, it's no good. But if the Schach is just going on top of the bed, then it is good. That's what Abaye says. Zakti Gemara. Abaye, that's the statement of Abaye. Now, Abaye is making his statement within Rabbi Yehuda, L'cha'ora. Right? Lo shanu, we only learn that it's no good if it is samach, but sikeich will be good. That means that Abaye is making his statement within Rabbi Yehuda. The Rif quotes Abaye. That means that the Rif presumably is following Rabbi Yehuda. That's already interesting now. You see, logic would tell me, if I have a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, who do I follow, la halacha? The Chachamim, no? Isn't right. That like, I don't know if it's the Aleph base of Judaism, it's the Gimel Dalet of Judaism, right? It's like fairly basic. Machlokes Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda, you follow the Chachamim. However, the Rif quotes Abaye's statement. Abaye's statement presumably is only within Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, if the Rif is quoting, if the Rif is quoting Abaye, that means that the Rif is paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. Stage one. Stage two. If you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which version of Rabbi Yehuda do you paskin like? Do you paskin like the version of Rabbi Yehuda of Ein Lakeva, which we just explained in three different ways? Or do I paskin like the version of Rabbi Yehuda that Or they're passing the version of Rabbi Yehuda that it's ma'imid b'dabra m'kabal tuma. That you can't support the sukkah with something that's susceptible to tuma. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran says, whoa, 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 ma'imid is the way to go. And therefore the Ran says, it's going to be a problem. The sukkah has to be supported by things that are not makabal tumah. In order to get to that place, by the way, just recognize what the Ran has to do. The Ran has to say, first of all, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Second of all, I paskin like the version within Rabbi Yehuda of Maimid. That is already highly, highly questionable. But it's Iran. The Iran says this. Now, the overwhelming majority of opinions do not follow this Iran. Overwhelming majority, the Rambam writes in the Perish HaMishnah, the Rambam says that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda is following his position that Sukkah is Diras Keva and we hold Sukkah Diras Arai. Meaning, right, we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda at all because of reason one. The overwhelming majority of Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rush, the Ritz Geus, Baba, I could go on and on and on and on, do not follow Rabbi Yehuda. And even if they follow Rabbi Yehuda, they hold that the primary reason of Rabbi Yehuda is Ein La Keva. This reason of Maimed is very, very difficult. Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin in Simin Tafresh Lamed Se'if Yud Gimel. Shulchan Aruch writes the halach of our Mishnah, but according to the Yerushalmi, meaning the Shulchan Aruch says that if there are 10 tfachim above the bed, then it's okay. Not 10 tfachim above the bed, it's not okay. 10 tfachim above the bed is the Yerushalmi's reasoning with inversion one of Ein La Keva. Right? Remember, there are two opinions in the Gemara what the reason of Rabbi Yehuda is. Either Ein La Keva or because of Maimed. Ein La Keva is understood by the Yerushalmi to be that you need 10 tefachim on top of the bed. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you need 10 tefachim on top of the bed. End of conversation. That means version one of Rabbi Yehuda. That means that there is zero halacha in Judaism of Maimed. It doesn't exist. This, right? There's someone I follow on Twitter occasionally called Halachos that you never heard of because they don't exist, right? Something like that. So this is one of them. The halacha of Maimed is actually interesting because Maimed is a halacha that you did hear of, but it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as Maimed. It does not exist according to the vast majority of opinions. The one dissenting opinion is the Ran. Now, when I say it's the one dissenting opinion, it's not just the one opinion of the Ran. There are other Rishonim who say the same thing, but they're all from that same school. The Ran is basically parroting what a Ramban says, and the Ritva says the same idea. But effectively, the vast majority of Rishonim, like we said before, assume that there is no halacha of Maimid, and that's what Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafresh Lamed, Se'if Yud Gimel. However, problems in Judaism, sometimes, well, often, they begin with the Rambam, but sometimes problems in Judaism begin in a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch in Simin, Tafresh Chavtes, Se'if Ches, Tafresh Chavtes Se'if Ches. Well, Siv Zayin, I'm sorry. Tavish Chavtes Se'if Ches. I'll start with Ches. Tavish Chavtes Se'if Ches. says that you're allowed to bang your schach in with nails. If I'm worried that my schach is going to, I remember when I was a kid, there was a hurricane that came around Sukkot called Hurricane Gloria. Anyone else remember Hurricane Gloria?
Yeah. Right?
So we put up the Sukkot, we had to take it down because of Hurricane Gloria. So one of the questions that came up is, you know, you have to take the Sukkot down because we're worried that like the schach will become a projectile and like fly into someone's window and do who knows how much damage. Sometimes you don't have hurricane force winds, but it's somewhat windy. Are you allowed to tie your schach down? Are you allowed to take rope and tie your schach? Or I'll be less creative. I'll take my hammer and my nail and I'll bang my schach. Remember, like a regular 2x4, it could be kosher schach. I'll bang it in with a hammer and nail. That's also an issue of maimed, isn't it? I'm supporting the schach with a nail. The nail is something that's makabel tuma. So all the achrayim say, well, if the schach wouldn't move anyway, and you're just nailing it down to be sure, then it's for sure not an issue of maimed. But even if the schach would move, potentially, Shulchan Aruch writes, you're allowed to attach the schach with nails. Even though nails are makabel tuma, no such thing as maimed. The rule of maimed is a non-existent rule. Okay, I'm banging this in again and again and again. Maimed does not exist. However, problem begins. Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Chaf Tes Siv Zayin. Question. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh L'his Tapek, if you could use a ladder as the roof on your sukkah. Can you use the ladder as schach? Now, a ladder is an interesting thing, because it's not really a keli in the sense of a keli is something that has a base kibul. A keli is something that stuff can be held in it. The ladder does not have a base kibul, even though there are holes in the ladder, right? In order to put the rungs inside the ladder, you need a hole and like the rung goes inside that hole and it gets stuck in. But that's a base kibul, soilam al oth. So it could be that the ladder is not makabel tuma. Shulchan Aruch writes, nonetheless, I have a question. Can you use a ladder on top of the sukkah? The Rama writes, don't do it. Don't put a ladder on top of the schach. So everyone jumps up and down and they spit wet and nickels and they say, Rabbi Moses Isserish, it was just your yard sale on Lag BaOmer. Right? Dear Rama, what are you talking about? Why should you not put the ladder on top of the schach? In the worst case scenario, we're not even sure that the ladder is makabel tuma. In the worst case scenario, it is makabel tuma. And in the worst case scenario that it is makabel tuma, it's a maimed. And there's no such halach of maimed. So Rama, why are you saying not to use the ladder as schach? Or not to put the ladder on top of the schach? That's the question that everyone asks. So the Magen Avraham has two approaches. One approach in the Magen Avraham is that, you know what, maybe the issue over here is that you're using the ladder itself as the schach. And there's a concern that you'll use the ladder as the schach, you might, I don't know, go mixed dancing. But using the ladder as the schach, it might be that the ladder itself will become the schach. It's not the most likely concern. That's approach one of the Magen Avraham. Approach two of the Magen Avraham is that Shulchan Aruch says, Maimed is not a problem, b'diyeved, but lichatchila, ab initio, do not put a ladder to support your schach, because lichatchila, we're nervous about this position of the Ran. Again, the Ran who says that we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, and not only we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, we pass him like the reason of Maimed of Rabbi Yehuda. So, says the Magen Avraham, Lechatchila, I am nervous about that Ran. And therefore, Lechatchila, don't put a ladder on top of the schach. That would mean that Lechatchila, you should not nail your schach in. But, b'diyeved, it's going to be okay. There is no opinion in normative Judaism. Sometimes people get really nervous. They're like, oh my gosh, how could I be in that sukkah? The schach is right on top of the metal. And it's a maimed, oy vavoy. No such thing as maimed, according to 98% of rabbinic authorities. And Shulchan Aruch, no such thing as maimed. That case of ladder? Well, either the case of ladder is different. That the case of ladder is not that the ladder is maimed the schach. It's not that the ladder is supporting the schach. It's that the ladder is the schach. That's one approach. The second approach is that l'chatchila, I'm worried about maimed. But for anyone to say that you can't make a bracha on a sukkah where the schach is directly on top of the metal, that is being megale ponim batora, right? That is like against, it's wrong. Maimed is not really a problem. We paskin maimed is not a problem, and that is what it is. Simple reading of Judaism. Now, when I say the simple reading of Judaism, I'm talking about the Rishonim, the classical Achronim, right? We went through the Ran and the Rush and the Taisvis and the Ravi and the Ritzgeus. The classical Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, the classical Achrayin, and the Magen Avraham, the Taz, everyone holds that Maimed is not really an issue. But there was a Jew named Reb Avraham Isaiah Karelitz. He was called the Chazon Ish, no? Chazon Ish is unbelievable how much Torah a single Jew can know. It's mamish scary. He like wrote on everything. So the Chazon Ish writes in Simen Kuf Mem Gimel of the Sefer Os Beis, Chazon Ish quotes that many assume that Maimed is not a problem, but L'didan Anu Nohagin L'Hachmir B'din HaMaimed. We are Machmir on Maimed, says the Chazon Ish. Point one. Point two, says the Chazon Ish. If I have a metal framed sukkah and then I put a piece of wood on top of the metal frame. So I don't know if we'll have time to get there tonight. I hope we will. But many assume that that's okay, because the metal, in this case, is not the maimed of the schach. The metal is what they call a maimed demaimed. The metal is, right, a maimed that is supporting the maimed. The maimed, the support of the schach, is wood. The metal is a support of the support. A support of the support is not a problem. That is an expression that's found in many Rishonim. The Ritva has this expression. The Ritva says that if you're going to tell me that you can't have the sukkah on top of something that is not Mekabel Tumah, so you can never build a sukkah, because the ground is the support of the sukkah, no? Ground is not Mekabel Tumah. Rather, says the Ritva, the ground is maimed demaimed. It's not a problem, because the ground is supporting the boards, which are supporting, the ground is supporting the walls, and the walls are supporting the schach. That's maimed demaimed. That's not a problem. That's the expression that the Ritva uses. Says the Chazon Ish, there's no real rule that maimed demaimed is okay. No real rule. Right? Chazon Ish, think about what the man is doing. He says, oh, the Ran makes sense. The minig is to follow the Ran. And this idea that people have that even if you want to be machmir, just put a board on top of the metal, that doesn't really help. Because ultimately, the metal is supporting the schach. The fact that you have an intervening board doesn't mean that the metal is not the primary support of the schach. The only time that we assume that there's this halach of maimid, dimaimid, is that I could build schach on top of the ground. Because the ground is not really supporting the schach. The ground is supporting the support, right? Blah, blah, blah. Chad gadya, chad gadya. But in a case where the metal is holding the schach, the fact that you have an intervening piece of wood is not going to help, says the Chazon Ish. That intervening piece of wood does not help at all. And therefore, right, many, the Chazon Ish, people in Bnei Brak build their sukkahs. They don't have any nails in the sukkah at all. The sukkah will be wood. The wood will be held together by wooden pegs, which are not mekabel tuma. The schach goes on top of the wood, on top of the wood. Because if you even have like a metal bracket to hold the wall of the schach, that's a maimed. And what? And the minig is that we're machmir a maimed. Now, even the Chazon Ish wouldn't say it's mamish puzzle. No one would say it's puzzle. But somehow, this chumra of the Chazon Ish following the Ran, right, ended up catching on. And when you think about it from the Gemara perspective, this chumra is so, as we'd say in Yiddish, far-fetched. Because the chumra is based on Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim, and Paskin like the reason of Maimid within Rabbi Yehuda. That's far-fetched. That's only the Ran. But nonetheless, the Chazon Ish says that's what we do. But even the Chazon Ish, L'cha'ora, is only saying it as a Chumra. It's hard to imagine that it's mamish going to be a problem. Nonetheless, and there are people who spend thousands and thousands of dollars extra to have a sukkah that has no metal in it. I don't know. It seems like it is, to me, I've heard Rav Shechter say this like 1,000 times. This is what I'd call a waste of money chumra. It's a waste of money chumra. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you pass like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe you hold like the other reason, Vein Lakeva. The whole issue is very, very difficult. Now, the Chazon Ish does have a certain logic to it, right? If the metal is supporting the wood, and the wood and the schach is right on top of the wood, maybe that piece of wood on top of the metal itself becomes like schach. Who says, right, that I have supports, and then the schach on top of the supports, maybe it should all integrate together and become the schach? That's already an interesting point. And that point is nice, it's interesting, but still, it shouldn't change the fundamental halacha that we paskin that maimid is not an issue. I have a lot more to say about maimid, but I don't think we'll be able to get there tonight. Any questions or comments on, I didn't even explain why maimid would be a problem. Right? We have to do that, God willing, next week. Any questions or comments or observations? Jokes? Again, I think my first year when I was the Rabbi Mount Sinai, so someone sends me an email, can you come and take a look at my sukkah? So I come and I take a look at the sukkah. I see the sukkah, it's a very fine sukkah. It has like a metal frame, and they had canvas, and the canvas was tied tightly enough that there was no shayla. Sometimes canvas sukkahs have a shayla that like it blows in the wind. It was tied tightly enough. It was not a shayla. So I come, I look at the sukkah, I tell them it's okay. So they ask me, can I just send an email to that effect? So I send them an email, that's fine. So then someone told me that they went to visit the sukkah, and there's like email of mine printed up that like I visited the sukkah and the sukkah is kosher. Like I didn't realize, so I'm sending the email that like I'm becoming like the hashgacha on the sukkah. I thought it was like kind of a cute thing that like they hung up an email from me, but there was no shayla at all, right? What's the concern? It's a metal frame, kosher be yosher, perfectly fine. Okay, Chavra. Again, I have a lot more to say. I'm just worried that if I'm going to begin speaking about the next point in the Rashi and the Ran, it'll just go on for too long. I can't do it in 2 minutes. Okay, so Shavuos is coming up, and we're learning about Sukkah.
Yeah, I've built sukkah every year, and there was a time when I tied the schach with a hemp cord, and I did ask the rabbi. I remember about this. It was Rabbi Bloch at the time. But anyway,
right. So tying the sukkah. So what we should talk. Well, next week, God, we'll talk about that. Again, the Magen Avraham says that l'chatchila we should worry about ma'amid. That probably means that if you're going to tie the schach down, you should tie the schach down with something that's not posel as schach mid'oraisa. Meaning, don't use nylon string to tie your schach down, because nylon is posel min ha'Torah. If you're using hemp string, which is only posel mid'rabbanan, that's going to be okay. That's something I want to discuss next week. Next week we'll discuss why that is, but to get there, we have to explain the reason of this, I'll call it non-halacha, the non-halacha of Maimed. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we should have a wonderful, marvelous night, and keep the faith in Judaism, and thank you for coming to learn.
Oh.
Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you for coming.
Okay, there you go.